want to be Jesus Christ, and again, I'm repeating myself from last week, is to have the sandwich board running around or to be street preaching on the street, and there's nothing wrong with that. I believe people should do that. Other people believe that you're known as a Christian if you were feeding the homeless or if you were singing hymns on the street corner or if you're just coming to church every day, which all of those things can encompass works and services of being a Christian, and those are appropriate things, amen? I know some people don't like street preaching. Some people love street preaching. Some people don't care about it. And guys, it's strictly up what the Lord has laid on your heart for those ministries. There's nothing wrong with it. I personally believe that street preaching is a blessing. I think it is a wonderful thing for people to do if God has laid that upon their heart. However, that is not the formula that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us to be known or denoted as a disciple, amen? Even though it's a great work, okay? Building churches is a great work, but that's not how we're known to be a disciple. Jesus Christ has made it quite clear that we are known of being his disciple if we have a love one toward another. And the things that we looked at last week is that we looked at Christ's instruction. His instruction for a life on mission, number one, was specific. He said, by this, if, there's the condition. By this, that's the particular specification, if, there's the conditional response, if ye have love one toward another. What is it? It's a special notification, meaning that all men shall know that you are my disciple. Shall all men know, he said. And so thirdly we looked at, and this is where we kind of honed in last week, was the sacrificial aspect of it. We see that in verse 34, as I have loved you. All right, how did Christ love us? He gave himself for us. You know, the primary role of the husband in the house is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. You've ever wondered why it doesn't say wives love your husbands? Typically, a wife does not have a problem loving the husband, you know, even when they're unlovable, to be honest with you. Women don't struggle with that, with love, but men do. Women struggle with usually the submissive role, and if we're honest, they probably struggle with that because of men, because of the failures of man anyway. It's our fault either which way. But the position of a husband inside of the house is a sacrificial position. That's just the way it is. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That is the husband's position. That doesn't mean he sacrifices his position of authority, his position of leadership. Doesn't mean that. What it means is that we are to give ourselves to our wives sacrificially to love them, okay? And love them unconditionally, bottom line. The same thing when we look at that which a disciple has to apply in their life. A disciple, we are known to this world that we are a disciple of Jesus Christ if we have love one to another. So there is a sacrifice to loving one another. One of the things, even in Faith or X, we talked about last Saturday, coming out of John 15, verse 13, on this aspect, that being a friend, Jesus Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Guys, a bondship, kinship, friendship comes with a cost. There's an investment process of being a friend. I know that we like to say that, no, well, there's no cost in being a friend. It's all, kicks and giggles, and it's just a blast and a fun time. There is a cost in being a friend. You are going to have to invest into other people's life. It's going to cost you, and it may cost you things that you never reap back in dividends. Amen? That's the true ideology and the true earmark of a friend. Same thing we find with the disciple, that Jesus Christ is seen in us and through us and by us in the world. If we have love, sacrificial love one toward another, okay? Loving one another inside the house of God. And again, I touched on this probably the past couple of Sundays for whatever particular reason. Guys, if people in this world or the people who are not in church, don't care about the church, if they see those of the church backbiting, sowing discord, causing division, tearing one another down. Let me ask you this question. Do you honestly think they want to have anything to do with that place? No, they don't. They don't. Not at all. And I'll just be frank with you this morning. Guys, I've seen greater compassion and love in a lost group of ball players. I've seen more loyalty on an O-line or a defensive line or a group of linebackers than I have in some churches. Okay? Now, that speaks to the shame of some of those local New Testament churches when the loyalty with a group of lost guys, okay, is greater than those that have the bond of eternity with them. Amen? And we really need to think about that. That's life on mission. Before we start talking about going to the mission field, before we start going to talk about church planting and winning souls to Christ and passing out tracts and doing all these things that we should do and we're required to do, before we start talking about supporting missions and all of these things, the mission that we need to understand as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is we exercise love one toward another. And that's where we need to see. We need to understand what we need to do in our life as Christians. So Jesus Christ is represented. Again, I'm trying not to chase a rabbit here, but I do want us to understand that all of the other things that we do, and I'm not downplaying them, I'm not saying that they're not necessary, I'll just call it like it is. If you're not supporting missions and tithing properly, you're a thief. You're robbing God, okay? Thieves go to jail, all right? They pay a price. You break the law, you break it, that's it. So, you know, as my mom says, put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's just the way it is today. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to call anybody out. But if you're not tithing appropriately, by the way, 10% is 10%, okay? 10% of 100 is not 1, it's 10, okay? Let's make sure that's clear. That's your starting point, and you go beyond that. Anything less than that, you're robbing God. Malachi 3:8, very clear. Same thing with the offerings, same thing with missions. You're robbing God, it makes you a thief, okay? So now that we've killed the spirit, let me try to pick this thing back up, all right? So, and get where we need to get. All of these things are secondary. They're required. We should do them. Tithe must be paid. You're going to pay it one way or another. Amen? You're either going to pay it the way you're supposed to biblically through the church, or you're going to pay it through bills, you're going to pay it through expenses. God's going to get his one way or another, guys, okay? So let's just make sure that's clear. You're not going to keep it as much as you think you are. But these are secondary. Supporting missions, as vital, as important as it is secondary. Mind you, mandatory, but secondary. Going out leafleting, going out knocking doors, witnessing, preaching, teaching, all of these things are on this outer band when it comes to discipleship and being a Christian. What is on the inner band that determines whether or not you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ are not the secondary mandatory things, but the primary thing, okay? And that's loving one another, having love one toward another inside the house of God. Because you can do all of these things. There are people, guys, that's got more money than sense that they can support every missionary in their local church for 600 quid a month if they wanted to. They could spend all kinds of time feeding the homeless. They could spend all kinds of the time preaching on the streets, passing out tract, knocking on doors, inviting people. And these are wonderful, great works that are on this outer band. But if they're on this inner band here, and they don't love one another, they can do all the physical things. Great. Doesn't make them a disciple. A disciple will do those things willingly. A disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ will do all this secondary band willingly and will love it and keep doing more of it. But a disciple, the determining factor where the world knows what we are to represent Jesus Christ for who and what he is that we love one another. That we love one another. There's more damage done through Christians backbiting against other Christians in this world today. Now, guys, I'm not talking about those who call themselves Christians and they believe a false doctrine. I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians, saved, born-again believers who believe the proper doctrine of the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about fringe elements, all right? So we don't need to get kind of confused with that. But here's the reality of it. Here's the reality of life on mission. Is it easy? Is it easy to love everyone? Denise, am I easy to love all the time? No, I'm not. I know this. And we're married. My goodness, can you believe that? Everybody is, it's not easy to love everyone all the time. So there is a struggle, guys. There is a struggle in the Christian life. There is a struggle for life on mission, all right? Look down, if you will, in the same chapter, John chapter 13. And I want you to see in verses 21 and through verse 30 with me. Verse 21, read this with me, if you will. The Bible says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. And now there was, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. When he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now watch this. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. And for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that's the money bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. These verses tell us the story of Jesus Christ pointing out Judas as the betrayer. We can read these verses here. We can read these words, and we see clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ identified who the one that was going to betray him would be. Judas was not interested in loving Jesus Christ, or anybody else for that matter, other than himself. He was too busy scheming an evil plan. We know this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Those who are working and thriving and striving to perform evil plans, they're not interested in loving people. So there is an inward struggle to love one another, okay? The struggle, guys, is sin. All right, that's all there is. Plain old-fashioned sin, which is in our makeup. It's in our DNA. So when I say that, hey, listen, the year mark that the world's going to know that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is that you love one another, that sounds great and wonderful. And a matter of fact, it is quite simple. Well, you know the thing I've noticed in all my years? Everything that is simple is not always easy. As a matter of fact, rarely the simplest things usually are the more difficult things to do. Do you understand? This is why people struggle with joy in their life. This is why people struggle with compassion. This is why people struggle with loving one another, because it's easy to give someone a meal or a coat on the street or throw some pounds into the plate. Anyone can do that because there's no risk involved. There's no opening up of your heart. Think about it. Think about that for just a second. Our greatest struggles within ourselves as human beings typically isn't giving something. It typically, maybe not even giving our time, our talent, our treasure. But man, it's opening up that heart. It's opening up yourself to be hurt, because we've done so time and time and time again. But think about it. Treasure is just treasure, guys. Buying a meal, providing a coat, providing shoes, which are all good things. They're not to be demonized. There's no emotional risk whatsoever in it. There's no emotional risk as there is when you open up your heart and you open up your life, and when you interject yourself, you invest in a relationship by loving another person. That's risk. That's the struggle. And many of you, if not every single one of you in here tonight or today, daytime, every one of you have opened up your heart to at least one person and you've had your heart stomped on, hands down. If you're a parent, you've had it done to you, or you will have it done to you, period. All right? If you've been in the church for a lengthy period of time, especially if you've been sold out in the church, you've had your heart ripped open time and time again. That's just the way it is. Why do you think so many charities are formed in this world? Why do you think the charities in this country started being formed to send literature across the plains and the borders to land and nations, having the gospel in them, most of them, if not all, not the correct gospel, but having something in there. But the people wasn't being sent out. There's a couple reasons why. One of the reasons is it ran out of people to send because nobody would surrender. And the other reason is because it's easy to put the money in. It's easy to send a magazine. It's easy to support a charity. Okay, many of them are doing fabulous jobs, by the way. Don't get me wrong. They're helping many people. But it's a job. If you start peeling back the layers of the majority of charities in our nation and in other nations, and the United States is the same, other ones will be, and you start peeling back the layers, you're going to find out that they're top heavy. Matter of fact, I'll dig a little deeper on this. In the United States, you have the Southern Baptist Convention. They formed years ago what's called the Cooperative Program. Now, I want to ask you a question. What if we had a group of churches? Let's say we had four churches in our area, all right? And we all said, you know what? Let's pull our resources together for missions. We're going to pull our resources together. We'll support to one clearinghouse, all right? We'll all four head it up. and we'll start supporting more. We'll send people out. Man, that sounds like a great plan, doesn't it? And you know what? It is. It's why mission boards are formed. Guys, and I don't mean this wrong, mission boards are not primarily biblical, all right? But they're necessary, aren't they? Our local church has the means and the ability to take care of the missionary. Other local churches can't, you know, they just can't. And you need that para-ministry to handle the finances for the missionary. The mission board has never taken the place of the local church, amen? Brother Preston's through a mission board. His mission board would never take the authority that Brother Tony has as his, wouldn't do it, hands down. Otherwise, he wouldn't be part of it. Help Ministries is a para-ministry that I'm part of. Help Ministries is a missions agency to where we support nationals around the world. It's not the local church, and it's very clear about it, okay? The best part about those type of agencies, they don't become top-heavy. What I mean, this is what happened to the cooperative program. The cooperative program had a great plan, had a great idea, had a great thought, right? But it became a corporation. And 100 years down the line, 1% of the funds given to the cooperative program may make it to the field. The rest of it goes through the staff, the members, the employees, all of these things that are running this thing within the Southern Baptist organization. And it's a crying shame. It's a crying shame. Their missionaries today is more like a job selection. Fill a piece of paperwork out, blah, 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 and there you go. And half of them aren't doing anything on the field. I'm just being very blunt today. We're independent Baptist guys. You know how it is. But there are a lot of charities that are doing a great work. You peel the layers back, you find out they're top heavy. It's a job. People don't struggle with jobs. They don't struggle with giving money a job. They don't struggle with getting paid for a job. Guys, people struggle loving one another. They struggle just by bearing the heart out. Man, if we did a survey today, we'd be here for the rest of the day. But if we did a survey today of how many people in here have had their hearts ripped out by church members in the past, you guys probably could tell a dozen stories each, right? That's the struggle, guys. People struggle with exercising love for one another in this life, and it's because of our own sinful nature. Two-way street, our sinful nature is plotting and planning against us. It's eyeing out and measuring counterparts, and we're weighing in the balance whether or not we're going to surrender our heart over to that particular person to love them, waiting for it to come first. And what happens is both parties are doing that. You end up loving neither one, and the world sees it. And guys, what am I saying? I'm saying it's a struggle for everyone. I'm not pointing the fingers to one, two, three. I'm saying it's human. It's all of our struggle. But you have to get to the point where you're like, you know what? There's a good chance I'm going to get it burned. I'm going to invest anyway. We talked about missions now, didn't we? There's a good chance you're going to support a missionary. He's going to go to the field, and he's going to flop. Matter of fact, there's a good chance that you're going to support a missionary, invest in their life, and he's going to go to the mission field, and he ain't going to do anything. He may even go out and get drunk and run around on his wife. He may go over there and kill someone. I don't know what they're going to do. But I'm going to take the chance in supporting them. I mean, if they line up in the front end. Guys, that's the chance. You got to trust the Lord in the thing. And the struggle is this, is the investment. So just like you're taking a chance and investing in missionaries as we do here at Saren, just like you're taking that chance, you need to take a chance with one another. You need to take a chance to bear your heart and open it up and love one another, not necessarily for your own sake, but my soul, for the sake of these people in this world, when they see something different in us. Remember, you go back to Acts chapter 11, where they were first called Christians. Guys, they wasn't called Christians because they wore a gold plate and some kind of bling that said, I'm a Christian. The world called them Christians because they loved one another. They acted and lived like Jesus Christ. They loved one another. Christ makes it clear. That's That's the equation. They'll know if you do this, if you love one another. So secondly, guys, we miss life on mission because it's easy for us to get sidetracked. It really is. Look at verse 36 with me, if you will, real quick. The Bible says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Now here's the deal. Jesus Christ had just told Peter that loving others was the proof of discipleship. What was Peter focused on? Well, where are you going? Now, what did he say? He said, by this, all men will know that you're my disciple. If you have love one toward another, right? Yeah, but where are you going? I mean, you want to talk about human nature, man. I mean, if you ever had a conversation with someone, it seems like they're in a different chapter of the book that you guys are talking about. That's what this is. It's a perfect example right here. I mean, Jesus is saying, listen, the world is going to know that you are my disciples, that you're my learners, that you're my pupils, that you're disciplined in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love one another that's in here together right now, yeah, but where are you going, man? My soul. And I know we're picking on Peter, but the bottom line is we're more like Peter than we are Paul. All right? Was he focused on loving others? Was he focused on loving those men in that room? No, he was not. He was caught up wondering where Jesus was going to go. I want you to notice how Peter seemingly was concerned with other things as opposed to other people. Look from the screen, if you will, here. You see here in John chapter 21 from the screen, verses 20 through 22, it says, then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? That's what John had said. In verse 21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I tell you, Jesus Christ has the best answers. I love, in other words, this is what the Lord's saying. Man, what's it to you? You know, my cousin Kevin in West Virginia, when I was a little kid, he was quite a bit older than I was, and I was always, you know, that kid trying to follow him around, do things that he was doing and all that. And I said, Kevin, I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, what's it to you? And that used to burn me up as a little kid. I wanted an answer. What are you doing? What's it to you? You know, I mean, but that's what the Lord is saying back to Peter. He's like, what is it to you that he's going to do? Follow me. You worry about you following me. Don't worry about him over there. It's the same way, guys. We get sidetracked in our life by what other people are doing or what other people aren't doing. Amen? I think that's probably a big old obstacle we have. Yeah, well, I'm over here doing this. What's everybody else doing? Who cares? Just do your work, amen? I mean, I love it, guys. I mean, you know, I get requested and all this and that for you know, emails or, you know, or comments or something about advice or criticism from someone, and I'll see it all the time, who aren't doing what they should do or aren't doing something. Guys, you know, here's my answer. I have people that do come to me and say, well, you know what? This is what we're doing over here, and I'm glad for you. Amen? All right? I'm glad what that person is doing. Hallelujah. Keep doing it. All right? But, I have people who aren't doing anything sometimes. They'll send you a note or give you a phone call or they'll chat with you. And my reply to them is this, and this may be something that you can borrow, is I like how I'm doing things better than you, better than the way that you're not doing things, okay? So I'm going to keep on moving forward and keep on working, and you keep on sitting still and complaining about everybody else, amen? It's easy to get sidetracked by looking at what other people are doing or what they're not doing, guys. People will say I don't need to examine my love for others because I serve on the visitation ministry. Or they're going to say I don't need to examine my love for others because I serve in the choir or I preach behind the pulpit. I don't need to examine my love for others because I'm a pastor. Guys, every single one of us fall prey to being sidetracked and the struggle of loving one another. And we need to examine ourselves and we need to apply it into our hearts and our lives every single day. The truth is your love is known for what? Is not known for what you do positionally, but your love is known by how you treat your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's it. It's what people see. And here's the thing about it. I'm about to be finished. You may sit back and you say, well, it's just not fair that people judge me for how I look or what, you know, or how my actions are. Nobody said it was fair. It's just real. Okay? Nobody said that life was ever meant to be fair. Find me one place in the Holy Scriptures where life in this world was meant to be fair. You will not find it. You know? You may say, well, it's not fair that people judge me by how I look or how I act. I don't care if it's fair. It's real. That is called life. Amen? And if we get sidetracked in what other people are doing or what other people are not doing, we are going to lose the love one for another, the love for a fellow brother and sister in Christ. Because that is the cornerstone, whether we like it or not. It's not how many tracts we pass out, although we need to be passing as many as we can out. It's not how many John and Romans we get out, although we need to get as many as we can out. And I can go down the list of ministries that we have, okay? I preach or teach in some venue every week roughly about seven times, seven or maybe sometimes eight, including online devotions and all that. None of that makes me a disciple of Christ. One thing I do from this pulpit makes me a disciple of Christ. There's no amount of labor in this word. There's no amount of devotion. There's no amount of books writing. None of that makes me a disciple of Christ. And this world's not going to see that I'm a disciple of Christ until they see my love for you, and you. Period. You say, well, that's not fair. That's life. Exercise and love one toward another. This is what Paul said, and we're finished this morning. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So what makes a disciple today? It's how we love one another, all right? It's not that we love one another, but how we love one another. And one of the things that I want to leave you with this morning is that love is much more than a word. Love is an action. Love is seen in deeds. Love is seen in the kindness of your speech. Love is seen in the way that you treat your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not in, well, she knows I love her. No, she don't. Amen? I make sure I don't go one day without telling my kids or my wife that I love them. And sometimes I'll ask her, did I tell you I loved you today? You know? And she'll say, yeah. But it's my wife. I have no problem sending a text message to Dev and say, love you, bro. None whatsoever. All right? He's a guy. I'm a guy. He's a born-again believer in Christ. I love him, and he loves me, period. Well, it's not love. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, guys, we need to understand that love is an action. It's something that is seen, something that is felt, and it's something that is exercised. And if we're not doing it, we're failing. So no matter how many works, I don't care if Preston and I fill wells up with churches and we plant them. If we don't love one another, we have failed as a disciple, bottom line. So it's not in what you achieve. It's not in the accolades. It's not in the works. It's in the actions of that word that we find love. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful day.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberaman. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this was the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, what would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead God and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer,
in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the word of God. That is a promise from God himself. That is the promise from the creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept his free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Sharon Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.